Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night America here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Night in America for Sunday, September 16th, 2018. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks with you at the conclusion of the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. We'll be talking all about the results. We'll be talking with you, the callers. Just dial 515-605-9345. If you'd like to chat about the show, also remember that if you do want to talk, you need to press 1, and then you will show up as someone who would like to speak in the dashboard here. Otherwise, if you call in and you don't press 1, you just appear as someone who is interested in listening to the show, which is okay as well. If you do call in, please remember this is a PG show, so keep the comments PG, and also, because we do get high volume and there are a number of people on hold here tonight, please keep the comments or questions to 3 total. But first, as we usually do, we'll run down the card and what happened. I thought this was largely a thumbs-up show. The main event was a bit of a mess, and a bit might be me being generous. But we'll start out with match number 1, which saw Randy Orton take on Jeff Hardy in the first of 2 Hell in a Cell matches on this evening. This was a long match. It went about 25 minutes. I thought for the most part it was really good. It did feel long, especially the last 10 minutes or so. For the most part, I thought the action was good. I thought the psychology with Randy Orton was good. Jeff Hardy's big spot that he's been talking about and that people have been fretting all week was, it looked good, I guess, but I don't think it was overly dangerous, where he hung on the top of the cage and with his hands and then tried to splash Orton through a table and missed. WWE booked it such that it was a big spot in the match. It was the last spot in the match. The ref didn't want Orton to even touch Hardy. They played up the injury angle and gave a few updates throughout the show of Jeff Hardy being taken to a local hospital and the results of that. So the night started off really well, I thought, with this match. I think this is probably a match that may be a little polarizing. I don't think everybody is going to really like that match as much as I did, just because it was so long. And Orton, I think, to me, has been a little more interesting since he's come back, but he's still pretty bland to a lot of people. And with Jeff Hardy, I think there's just a lot of people worried about his well-being, and it's harder for them to get into his matches like they have in the past. Match number 2 was the SmackDown Women's Championship match, where Charlotte Flair took on Becky Lynch. This was another one that really got into gear in the last half of the match. I liked what they were trying to do in the first half of the match. I thought there were some spots that did not go cleanly and did not connect very well, but in the last half of the match, it made up for it, and Becky Lynch picked up the victory and the SmackDown Women's title in about 15 minutes. Charlotte, after the match, tried to shake hands with her former best friend, and instead Becky just held the title in Charlotte's face. For those keeping score at home, or as Keith Olbermann would say, or even if you're alone, Becky did play to the crowd a lot during her entrance. She played to the crowd when she won the title, but came off heelish in refusing to shake Charlotte's hand, which in some circles will actually get her over more as a babyface. So this muddied the water a little bit after she came out, to me, a pretty clear heel on Tuesday night by attacking Charlotte out of the crowd. Match number three was the Raw Tag Team title match, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins challenging Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. This was a match which Ziggler and McIntyre won in about 25 minutes. So last month, there were a lot of really short matches, maybe three or four that went short. This month, every match seemed to be epically paced by WWE. There were no short matches here on this card. Still the show clocking in under 4 hours, which I guess is an accomplishment in some respects. But the Raw Tag Title match I thought was another really good match. It was another one that, sort of like Charlotte and Becky, the Raw Tag Title match to me felt like a Raw main event for the first half of it, which, you know, historically the last several years still have been good. Just not what you would expect on a pay-per-view out of these guys, but they kicked it into higher gear toward the end. Match number four, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. This was another one that went well over 15 minutes, almost 20 minutes. AJ Styles retaining the title despite tapping out a second before he got the pinfall on Samoa Joe. This is another match that might be a little polarizing because it was worked pretty slowly. It's not going to be the last match of this feud with the particular finish. That's a easy gateway for Samoa Joe to get a rematch. And yet, it still feels like there's more to be done. This was still a really good match. I think Wade Keller, editor of Pro Wrestling Torch, had it over 4 stars, but it was slow and it was not the bang, bang, bang type of match. So it was good for what it was. And I really enjoyed it for what it was. It felt different on this card. Match number five was Miz and Maryse versus Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella in a mixed tag match. This was the sports entertainment portion of the show. It was well done, I thought. It was in the end with Miz and Maryse getting the victory, with Maryse pinning Brie. I thought this set up two things. It set up The Miz versus Daniel Bryan in having another match, and I thought was a nice buffer between the first and second singles matches of Bryan versus Miz, because this is a feud I think that's going to be long term and certainly has the legs to go several months. Speculation that it may be culminating at WrestleMania next year. I don't know if it has that much juice, if WWE can stretch it out that much, but it's, if you're going to do that with any feud, this is the one to do it with, because there's so much backstory, so much history to draw on. And then the finish of this match, particularly with Maryse running away from Brie Bella in their Raw match on Monday night, doing a lot of running away from Brie here in this match, and then getting sort of a fluke victory at the end, I think this sets up well for Brie Bella versus Maryse at Evolution next month. We'll see if that indeed takes place, but Daniel Bryan on the losing end again in pay-per-view. The next match was the Raw Women's title match. This was Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. This was another one that went over 10 minutes. A match that I think giving the story of Ronda Rousey having a rib injury coming into this match was really the only way that you could realistically do this match and not have it be a short squash for Ronda. You know, somebody like Nia Jax has the believability of being able to give Ronda Rousey a legitimate challenge, which she did in Ronda's first singles match. With Alexa Bliss, even with Mickie James and Alicia Fox on the outside creating a distraction frequently, which they did here, I don't think it would be hard for a lot of people to buy Alexa Bliss as a legitimate challenger to Ronda Rousey. So having her come into this match with a rib injury suffered Monday night on Raw, I think was a smart move, because it gave Alexa something to work on. Ronda an excuse to not put away Alexa so quickly. She did end up getting the victory eventually with her armbar tap out. I thought this wasn't great. I thought their last singles match was laid out better and was more effective at telling the story. than the Hell in a Cell offering. And then we had the main event, which was the big dog Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman, Universal title match inside Hell in a Cell. Mick Foley, a special referee. He didn't come into play too often, I guess, but this was your smoke and mirrors match of the night, where the rest of the Shield came out. Ziggler and Drew McIntyre came out. They fought at ringside. They fought on top of the cage while Reigns and Strowman were apparently hit by an asteroid and laid out in the middle of the ring all while this was happening, because they weren't moving and there was no action going on inside the ring for what felt like at least a good 10 minutes. And then Brock Lesnar came out, which was he was backstage, reported by Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, earlier in the day. He came out, kicked the cell door off its hinges, went inside the ring, attacked both Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns with a chair, with pieces of a table, and left them laying. And another referee, after Paul Heyman had used pepper spray on one of the referees, another referee, after Lesnar left, called a no contest. So yes, we got a no contest in a Hell in a Cell in which somebody interfered once again, which is not supposed to happen. So all of that went on here in that main event. I wasn't really a big fan with how it played out. I don't know where the Brock Lesnar deal goes from here. You know, I don't know if they're looking for something for Super Showdown for him in Australia. I don't know if they're looking forward to Survivor Series. His UFC match still has not been announced for January. The expected match with Daniel Cormier, from what I understand, he is still training for a fight, however, so I'm not sure what level of interest or what level of ability he'd have to participate in WWE events in the lead up to that. But with him being involved here, one would think that either WWE was desperate for an out in this match and threw a bunch of money at Lesnar to come in here and work this. Although they had, you know, the Shield and Ziggler and McIntyre at ringside, they could have done something with them, getting them involved in the finish. So just a lot of questions still to be answered coming out of that main event, which is, I think, what WWE likes. So we will speculate on those questions, no doubt, throughout this show. Wrestling Night in America, PWTorchLivecast.com. Once again, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks. The phone lines are open, 515-605-9345, to call and talk about what you thought about Hell in a Cell. You can also ask me questions. I'm on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. Would love a follow. Love interacting with the followers while I tweet during pay-per-views and most of Raw and SmackDown. But we're going to go to the phones with our first caller of the evening. It is the 443 area code, 443. I believe this is Mark from Baltimore. Mark, is that you here on the Hell in a Cell post show?
Of course it is, the one and only, my man. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, Mark. Good to talk to you. What'd you think of Hell in a Cell tonight?
You know me, when it's pay-per-view night, I gotta just keep it short and simple.
I just
really watching several WWE pay-per-views events back in 98, back in 88, and I remember why I fell in love with it, and it was a spectacle. And I looked at tonight's pay-per-view, which I wasn't expecting to be nothing. And what did I see? A spectacle. So I would say this is maybe the number one, two best pay-per-view of the year so far. I was actually shocked. This was actually a good pay-per-view. I cannot believe my eyes. It really was good.
I agree with you. I think it was one that, you know, coming in, I didn't really get a good sense that this was going to blow me away. I thought it would probably be pretty average. This was a show that coming in, I looked at the matches and in trying to look at the match results, I thought, okay, we could have a lot of titles changing hands here tonight, or a lot of DQ non-finishes to keep stories going. And we got a title change. We got a wonky finish, at least in the main event, but not to the level I expected, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Like, I was just really shocked at how much I liked this show. Like, I could not believe it. Like, because the build, nothing about it had me excited about it. I paid for this network just, it seemed like, now for the old stuff. But They didn't disappoint. I could not believe it. Even the last match, and I remember last month, I had such a fuss about how the ending was and all that kind of stuff. But even though this ending was like kind of not finished, I was up, I was wide-eyed the whole time. Like, I could not believe it, just how good this pay-per-view was. I didn't like the red Hell in the Cell beginning of the show, but at the end, I was like, hey, we had a blue cage back in the day, so how could I really get mad about this? Like, so, you know, red cages, blue cage. So, yeah, I gave it a thumbs up. You know, this and Money in the Bank was, like, tied right now, 1A, 1B, best show, and after looking at all the past pay-per-views, the past months, the All-Ins, the NXTs, the and watching MLW on YouTube, which I think is a pretty good show. It's a reason why they are king, which is WWE, and I hate it. I really wish we would have more better matches and better lead-ins, but tonight's show let you know, I think it was there letting the world know, while we are the best, everybody else keep trying to step your game up, man. That's all I got to say for the night. Next week I'll call you, you know, let you know what else on my mind. But for the night, I get to him. I had to take my hat off to him. This was a good show.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate hearing from you.
No problem.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, wait, aren't you going to put any pants on? He just goes, no time for pants. And he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
The Monster sounds off. Since 2007, The Sala Monster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
And just to put a bow on that with the Red Cell, yes, WWE debuted their red Hell in a Cell tonight. I'm not sure why they changed the color of it. I thought it was okay. You know, it was different. It was fine. I know some people on Twitter earlier in the week when it was revealed that WWE was bringing this Red Cell had said it may improve sight lines for folks in the stands. This is another one of those things, and I talked about it on the podcast with Wade Keller on the post-Tuesday SmackDown. If you haven't listened to that, I joined Wade for that show after SmackDown this past week. You know, I mentioned change for the sake of change is not usually a good thing, but because WWE is so stuck in their ways with a lot of how they produce the shows and how they present the shows, sometimes change for the sake of change is good in the WWE environment. And I think the Red Cage is a good change for the sake of change example. There's no, and unless I'm missing something, there's no real reason to make that change, but it gives a different vibe and it gives a different atmosphere. And I think that's a positive. So we move along with our phone calls to the 478 area code. This is 478. I believe it's Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, is that you?
Yes. How you doing today? Great.
I'm doing well, Darrell. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight related to Hell in a Cell?
First, congratulations to your Jacksonville Jaguars on the nice win today. Payback.
Let me tell you, a lot of demons were exercised in that game, and I thought it was over. I know they still had the lead, but, you know, pessimistic fan against the Patriots, I thought it was over when Bortles threw that interception in their own territory, and I think the Patriots were, you know, two scores behind by that point, and I thought they had just gift wrapped the Patriots one score, but then Dante Fowler comes and strip sacks Tom Brady, and the rest is history. But yeah, heck of a game. Really, really happy, especially since they didn't come out and they didn't dominate the Giants the week before like some people had expected. This was, across the board, really solid showing against the Patriots. So I appreciate the compliment there, Darrell.
Yeah. I had said something to you on Twitter about it, so I said I come and congratulate you on the victory. So
yeah,
I started off with that right there. But about the show, it's good to hear a few people who say they enjoy, especially the ending of the show. I think the overall part of the show was okay, but to me, I don't know what they was doing at the end, where they setting up a triple threat match or something like that. But I think the ending will weigh down the show overall, because I just don't know what to make of it. Can you decipher the code that they trying to put out there and let us know?
No, I honestly can't, Darrell, and there are just so many ways they can go. It really depends, as do most things when you involve him, what kind of schedule Brock Lesnar is looking going forward. And I said at the top of the show when I was doing the rundown, you know, was this appearance by Lesnar just a way for WWE to get out of a finish of Reigns Strowman where they don't anticipate Lesnar coming back until after his UFC fight? Do they have a plan in place for Lesnar to get another opportunity? Remember, it was Kurt Angle who said that Lesnar wasn't going to get another opportunity wasn't going to get a rematch for the Universal title. Well, Kurt Angle's not in charge of Raw anymore, at least for the time being. So Paul Heyman and Lesnar could show up on Raw tomorrow night and convince Baron Corbin to give them a shot, whether it's at Survivor Series or something like that in November. I don't know that they would do it at Super Showdown. So a lot of balls in the air, plus it depends on Lesnar's UFC schedule and what fight comes and when he's fighting. So like I said, I think that a lot more questions were asked than answered in that main event tonight.
Yeah, it sure was, because if we go off of how they've been announcing Super Showdown, we got a triple threat between all those guys out there. And I guess Survivor Series would be too close for Brock to perform if he's supposed to be doing a UFC match in January at the beginning of the year. So it's just, I don't know. That ending left very confusing.
Yeah.
Just.
Right. I can't imagine, you know, Roman Reigns is already booked for Showdown, teaming with the Shield against Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre. So you'd have to pull, if you're going to do a triple threat at Super Showdown, you'd have to pull Reigns and Strowman off that match and do a triple threat. You know, Survivor Series, like you said, if the plan is for Lesnar to fight in January at UFC, you're talking 2 months, maybe less than 2 months, away from whatever fight that they're going to have in January. I don't think Lesnar would want to, you know, risk injury in Survivor Series match and risk the big payday he'd be getting from UFC. So Survivor Series almost seems too late for that to happen. That limits your options basically to Raw. And I don't know if WWE would pay Lesnar big money. I mean, money is immaterial to WWE, so maybe they'd pay him big money to wrestle on Raw. I don't know. But yeah, there's just a lot of balls in the air still after that main event.
Yeah, but other than that, all the matches were pretty nice to me. More on the AJ Styles match, I'm kind of liking how they stretched it out a little bit longer with the tap out and showing the different angles. I just wish they would do that more. If they go to video on some matches, I wish they would do that on all matches or tell a reason why they don't do it on all matches. But, hey, that's just a small thing. I won't let that get in the way of a good story. So, ready to see how they continue on with this no disqualification match that's coming in 3 weeks. What you think about that, and how would that go?
Yeah, I thought this was a time where Samoa Joe, I thought this was a good opportunity to put the title on him here on this show. They instead opted for Styles to retain, but have Joe get the visual tap out victory. And then Paige made the no DQ match for 3 weeks at the Super Showdown event in Australia. So, you know, I thought no matter what the result here, whether it was Joe winning or Styles somehow winning, that the feud would continue. And that's kind of what I said when I talked to, when I said previously that I thought this was a show that could have a lot of titles change hands or a lot of DQ or screwy finishes. And Joe Styles is one of those matches I was looking at to say, okay, either Joe wins the title here or they have some sort of DQ screwy finish. It wasn't a DQ, but it was a screwy finish to make Joe's blood boil even further, to make him even angrier. And, you know, I thought that result, if it was going to be Styles retaining, I liked that result better than a DQ finish, because this really makes Joe even more irate, and he's a better character and a better personality when he gets very angry.
Yeah, but I think he might not win the title, and they're just making him even more into a monster. I was thinking they couldn't have him win, because once you start putting the family into it, and you got your guys, a baby face, and a man talks about your family that way with the pictures and stuff, which was awesome. But you can't lose to a guy who talks about your family that way, because I know this keeping it kayfabe, but you can't go home to your wife and look her
I would say this, Darrell. I would say Joe could win, but Styles eventually wins the title back and to take the feud and to move on from there. So I think that would be also, I get what you're saying, but I think that would be an acceptable way to book it, where Joe does win and does get the title and Styles is feeling low, but he's got to rise above that feeling that he's got of losing the title, as you said, with his family playing such a big part in the storyline. And he ends up overcoming that and eventually defeats Samoa Joe in the finale of the feud. And then, you know, they both move on to other things. So I think it could have worked that way and still may work that way.
Yeah, it could. I'm just excited to see what go on. And obviously this Survivor Series, we might not get champion versus champion for neither of the main big titles. So I'm just excited to see how they do everything and stuff like that. And also with the Miz and Daniel Bryan victory, which I thought was kind of clever with the Miz and Maurice getting over on Daniel Bryan once again, I'm thinking they're building another potential challenger for AJ down the line, just looking a little bit forward. But would like to know how you feel about that question and how you felt about that match altogether.
The Miz match?
Yes.
The heel depth chart isn't exactly deep, so that's part of the reason I feel like AJ Joe is a feud that could really be extended into the fall and into the winter. Miz is certainly a guy who it would be at the top of the list of guys on SmackDown who would have a legitimate feud with AJ Styles and fans could buy as a legitimate challenger to AJ Styles in the WWE title. But the thing is, Miz is embroiled in this feud with Daniel Bryan. It doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. So if you're talking about Miz being the next challenger for AJ Styles, you may be talking about 2019 with the way Bryan and Miz is going and even with the way Styles and Joe's going.
He got a they at Super Showdown, they got a title match for a future match for the title, number one contenders match, you might as well say, at Super Showdown. So that could set up something either sooner or for the Rumble or whatever, Survivor Series or however they're going to do it. So that's why I was going off the thinking, because you're going to have that title match and that potential number one contenders match on the same show.
And I'm not sure when they're going to cash that in, when that opportunity would come for the number one contenders. That seems to me to be something just for the distant future. Unless they do it on an episode of SmackDown, I don't know that, you know, whether Miz wins or whether Daniel Bryan wins in Australia, I don't think that's going to automatically, we're going to snap our fingers and that's going to be the new WWE title feud, Styles versus one of them. I think it would be a one-off match, or they would save the number one contendership for when Styles is done with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, okay, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Tonight, brought on a lot of matches and continued on with the matches. Want to see how they go.
Yeah.
So every match was great tonight, except that main event. I just don't understand it, but we'll have to see where they take us on this long ride.
Absolutely.
But thanks for asking my questions, Greg. You have a good night tonight.
You too, Darrell. Thanks for calling.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And as Darrell drops off, we'll go back to the phones here in just a minute. I want to remind everybody who may not be a regular listener of Wrestling Night in America that we are here every Sunday night. We usually show up on PWTorchLivecast.com at 8 p.m. Eastern for Wrestling Night in America. It's usually me and a PWTorch.com contributor talking about the big events in pro wrestling. So over the next few weeks, we'll be previewing a lot of big shows coming up in October, including the Super Showdown, which is scheduled for early October. Then we've got Bound for Glory on October 14th and WWE Evolution, the first ever WWE all-women's pay-per-view. So a lot of big events coming up in October that we'll be talking about on Wrestling Night in America every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Pro Wrestling, PWTorchLivecast.com. We go back to the phones here. The 304 area code. 304, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Lee from Huntington, West Virginia. How you doing, Greg?
Lee, good to talk to you again. Thanks for calling in. What did you think of Hell in a Cell?
I enjoyed it up until the end. I want to know how bad do you think Jeff Hardy was actually hurt? I mean, you know, the referee was kind of like, hey, Randy, stop. Don't. He's hurt. Raise the cage, you know. And then Randy's like, hey, do your job. And then he made him count it. I didn't see him throw the X sign up. Like, Jeff was really hurt. Do you think he's really hurt? Or, I mean, and then I have another comment about I want to know what your comment about that was.
Yeah, Jeff is hurting. You know, the miles on his body are starting to add up and that sort of thing. But as for that specific spot, no, I don't think he was. That was part of the storyline going into the match. Randy Orton certainly would not have touched Jeff Hardy if they felt Jeff Hardy was seriously injured, and they would have stopped the match right there. So that just played into the storyline. Remember, going in, it was Jeff Hardy. What's the crazy risk he's going to take here inside the Hell in a Cell? And they just played it up really big there. So that was all part of the plan there.
Okay. They really sold it real well. Saying, "Hey, I mean, I was very impressed with that. I'm a referee in a lot of independent referees. So, I mean, in a lot of independent shows. So, I mean, I really was impressed with that. You know, and at the very end, you know, at the show, I was really, you know, really upset. You know, they had a no finish at the very end of Hell in a Cell. You know, especially with Mick Foley involved. You know, we're talking about a man who went off the top of the cage." Went through the Hell in a Cell cage, and you know they can't finish because of Brock Lesnar. You know, to me that just shows how Mick Foley, how tough he is. Because I mean, you know, that gives a lot of respect to him. It gives Mick Foley a lot of respect, showing how tough he is. But you know, it just says, hey, they can't finish the match in a Hell in a Cell. That just really, I was like, man, that's a terrible ending. I mean, but I'm not taking anything away from the rest of the card. The rest of the card was great. I really enjoyed the show. I think they just could have finished that better.
Yeah, I agree. I was not a fan of the main event finish. You know, it's about protecting the gimmick matches too. And that's something WWE just does not do. They get the Hell in a Cell, this huge structure that's meant to keep these two guys in or keep everybody out. And every Hell in a Cell match, every steel cage match always seems to be somebody breaking in or somebody breaking out. And here, you know, inside the Hell in a Cell, where there's no DQs, there's no countouts, there's all of that, where you go in anticipating that if there's any match on the card where you were sure you were going to get a winner, it was going to be a Hell in a Cell match. And here tonight, they didn't do that. They gave a no contest. And, you know, maybe WWE's thought is the big spots with the Shield and McIntyre and Ziggler, the surprise return of Brock Lesnar and the damage he caused would all offset whatever anger the fans were feeling for not getting a finish in that match. And, you know, maybe that's true to a certain percentage of the fans, but, you know, based on the calls we've had tonight and based on the response I've seen on Twitter, that's not the case. People wanted a finish in that match.
I totally agree. I wanted to finish also. Hey, Greg, I didn't know you was a Jacksonville fan. Hey, that's awesome. I'm a Jacksonville fan too. So, hey, let's go, Jacksonville. We're going to go all the way. We're going to Super Bowl this year. Yes. Hey, we finally got over the Patriots up. We're going to win it this year.
Yeah, like I said to Darrell, we exercised some demons in that game because I feel like we've lost to the Patriots, you know, for the last 10 years. So it's nice to finally get a win. And hey, maybe that does mean we're getting over that hump and we're Super Bowl bound. Fingers crossed.
I hope so too. Hey, Greg, good talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good evening, buddy. Thank you.
Sure thing, Lee. You do the same. And I look forward to hearing from you again.
Yes.
Lee from Huntington, West Virginia, drops off. And now we go to the 773 area code. I believe this is Boris from Chicago. Boris, is that you? Hello? See, now I know it's Boris because he's not answering. Boris, is that you? Did you fall asleep, buddy? I don't even hear the usual background noise. Maybe Boris has me on mute, so I'll put him on mute. And we'll go to the 516 area code. I believe this is Frank. And Frank, if this is you, happy birthday.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And too bad the Giants couldn't give me a victory tonight, but at least you got a Jaguars victory, so I'm happy for you.
Well, I appreciate it. And even though you didn't get a Giants victory, hopefully it was blunted by maybe the fact that you liked Hell in a Cell tonight?
I liked it overall, except for the ending. I'm pretty much kind of with everybody. I don't want to say I didn't like the ending. I'm kind of in a holding pattern with the ending because why? You know, what's going on with that? I mean, I don't know when they were talking to Brock Lesnar. I don't know when this whole thing came into the picture. You know what I mean? You know, it seems like something that, you know, let's just say, you know, he came on board this week and, you know, they said, all right, look, you know what? We don't know what we want to do with the finish. You're available? Great. You know, you come out, you interfere, and that way we don't have to do a finish. We can protect both Roman and Braun, you know, and move forward, you know, because if you don't have that, you know, I don't know. Do you have Seth and Dean go in the match? Do you have Dolph and Drew go into the match? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like something that just kind of worked out as a matter of convenience for WWE. And I don't know that I see this going down at the Super Showdown because, I mean, you guys are talking about it. You still have Roman and you know, the Shield going against the other, you know, Braun and the other guys. So I just wonder if maybe they are lining this up for a Survivor Series. Because as you said, that match hasn't been announced. And we're in September already. I mean, isn't that match supposed to take place in January with Cormier?
Yeah, that's been the speculation, and nothing's been announced yet. So every day that passes and nothing's announced, the flags go up, the red flags go up, and you're wondering what the weight is, especially for a match of that magnitude. One would think you'd want to announce it as far out as you can so you can really hype it as much as you can. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not clued into UFC, so I really can't answer that question maybe as well as some others can. But it just
– yeah,
it is curious to me that nothing's been announced yet.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm not. Believe me, I'm with you. I'm not clued in either. So, you know, I'm just thinking from a common sense standpoint. Here we are, September the 16th. If this fight's supposed to take place in January, this thing would be lined up. I got a feeling they're not done with Lesnar. I got a feeling that they're still going to try to line him up, if not Survivor Series, the Royal Rumble. And God help us. You don't think we're going to get Reigns Lesnar again at WrestleMania next year, do you? I mean, is that really a possibility? Because I thought about that. I said, wouldn't they want to have Roman have his big crowning moment, which he didn't have at WrestleMania? Yes, he got it at SummerSlam, but do you think they would want to stretch this out to WrestleMania? I mean, are they that crazy to do that?
Yes, they would be that crazy to do that. I think that Reigns can have his crowning moment at WrestleMania, but it doesn't have to be against Brock Lesnar. The whole idea was Reigns would beat Lesnar, who was the longest-running champion, yada, yada, and he beat The Undertaker streak with basically the sole purpose of transferring that to Roman Reigns when Reigns beat Lesnar at WrestleMania. Now, Lesnar is more of just a guy. You know, he doesn't have the title that Reigns can win from him unless Reigns drops it to Lesnar somewhere between now and then he beats Lesnar at WrestleMania. But, you know, that's not really a big deal because Lesnar wouldn't be the longest reigning Universal Champion at that time. And the idea of using Lesnar beating Undertaker to transfer that to Reigns, and that idea is long. That ship has long sailed. So I don't think Lesnar would mean as much losing to Reigns at WrestleMania. Now, I think somebody like Braun Strowman, if you want to put Reigns over somebody big at WrestleMania, spend this time building up Braun Strowman as a monster heel. You've already done most of the work anyway. Keep building him up till WrestleMania. Have Reigns go over him big at WrestleMania if you want that to be Reigns' crowning moment. The other thing is, you know, Reigns is already champion. So the idea of crowning him at WrestleMania is a little faulty because either he loses the title between now and then and regains it at Mania, which doesn't have the same meaning as if he hadn't won it yet, or he's already champion and he just beats a challenger like Braun Strowman, which doesn't carry the same meaning anyway. So I would rather see them have Reigns go over someone like Braun, someone that they've spent time building up weekly over time, rather than go to the Brock Lesnar well again.
The other thing that they could do, Greg, is, you know, you go back to last year, Strowman lost to Lesnar in, what, 5 minutes after one F5? If you want to build up Braun, then Brock would be the guy to have him beat. So, I mean, I don't know. We get another Reigns-Lesnar match, I don't know. But Lesnar could actually be back to Strowman because he did attack Strowman in the match. Now, as far as the heel-face dynamic in that, I don't know how you handle that. But, you know, if you do want Roman to go over strong, you know, like you said, Reigns-Lesnar doesn't mean anything at this point. But if you have Braun beat Lesnar, now you have Braun built up and you could go to that match, you know, say at WrestleMania. And then, you know, I don't have a timeline figured out. Maybe it's Royal Rumble, something like that, Braun over Brock. And then somehow, you know, you get to Roman and Brock at WrestleMania. Because I would think that that's, you know, kind of like the main event that they're looking at. I think you might have even speculated on that last week on Wrestling Night in America. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and there are a couple points to make as we, like, Zipruder, like, break down this main event here tonight. Is one of them is, you know, you mentioned Lesnar did attack both Reigns and Strowman. That seems to give off the idea of a triple threat at some point, especially with the non-finish. So Lesnar has a claim to the title because he never got his rematch, and Strowman has a claim to a title match because his match tonight ended in a no contest, and WWE's booking history tells you that's going to lead into a triple threat. Now, Super Showdown is already mostly booked, so they're not going to do it there. Survivor Series would be really the next time you're able to do it. So, you know, we could be looking at that. But then again, you know, like I said earlier, you get into the idea of, okay, if Lesnar is going to fight in January, having him do a triple threat match against guys that the physicality of Reigns and Strowman, less than 2 months away from a big UFC fight, there's a lot of risk there. You know, either the UFC fight doesn't happen or the Survivor Series match doesn't happen. I would be surprised if they both occurred. And the other thing coming out of this main event is WWE didn't want to do a finish where they beat Strowman. You know, they wanted Reigns to retain the title, but they didn't want to beat Strowman. So that tells you Strowman's going to be in the title picture going forward in some form or fashion, whether Lesnar's around for the next few months or not.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%, because if you beat Strowman, that hurts him. So they did a good job protecting him there. Let me just shift over to a couple of little things, Greg, and I'll let you get some other people in. I think you and Darrell were talking about the AJ Samoa finish. I actually like it. I was thinking about it earlier on where I figured AJ would retain, but there would be some issue that Samoa Joe, you know, has with the finish, and clearly that's what happened with the, you know, with the tap out. So, and it had already been announced that they were going to have a match at the Super Showdown. Now, has that been announced as a no DQ, or is that something that you guys were speculating on? That was the one thing I was a little confused about. Has that already been switched up? Because I thought it was just a straight up match.
I got to be honest, I didn't catch that part of the backstage promo where Paige was talking about, you know, Joe getting the match. So when Darrell brought it up, I just assumed it was mentioned in that backstage promo, but I could be wrong.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Okay. I be honest with you, we paused it a little bit. My mother was here. We were celebrating my birthday and stuff, so I missed a couple of promos tonight. So, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. Either way, you had to get to Super Showdown. If you do a clean finish, you know, then there's no reason to get there. So now Joe is even more enraged. You know, God knows what he's going to do over the next couple of weeks. So at least you have a means of getting to Super Showdown. Who wins the title? It's really immaterial to me. I personally would like to see Joe get a run, as, you know, I wonder about his mileage. I wonder if, you know, his tires are starting to wear. But, you know, whatever they do is fine. And then the other thing, you were talking about the Ronda Rousey match. That's fine. One thing I noticed in the pre-show with the Rusev match, now they showed the replay where Aiden tagged himself in, and they made that the issue. But then I'm watching the finish. Aiden, he's coming over. He releases the that submission hold that Rusev, I forget the name of it, the accolade, that's it. He's coming over, and Rusev actually goes across the ring and doesn't even attempt to tag Aiden. So it's not Aiden that cost them the match. It's Rusev that cost them the match. I mean, is it me, or did WWE point at the wrong issue for the finish for that?
Well, I did not see the pre-show. I was engulfed in the Jaguars Patriots game, and having to watch a 4-hour pay-per-view and then spend an hour and a half, 2 hours talking about it afterward, I'm not really inclined to watch the pre-show. So, Frank, you may have to take to Twitter and ask the Twitter Audi about that one.
I just thought it was an odd finish, because WWE was pointing to Aiden that he was the one that cost them the match, you know, by tagging himself in, and then it led to this and that. But then, you know, when he released the accolade, he wanted Rusev to come into the match. And then as he's going over, Rusev goes to the other side and gets involved with Kofi. And then Kofi knocks him out. He comes back in the ring, and he gives Aiden the trouble in paradise, and that's it. And we're done. So I just thought that was a little odd as far as the writing of it. But I'll let you get to some other people, Greg. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while, you know. And look forward to talking to you again and working with you again.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling, Frank. Good to talk to you. And happy birthday.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you soon, huh?
Absolutely. So Frank makes his call and drops off. We now go to our next call, which is a Skype or international call, the 111 area code. You are on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Hello, 111. Okay, well, they just dropped off as I tried to put them on the air, so maybe Frank scared them off. 615, you are up next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg, this is Kenny from Tennessee.
Kenny, good to talk to you again. What did you think of Hell in a Cell tonight?
I thought it was a good show overall. I kind of agree with you on everything, including the finish aspect of it. I'm not even going to talk about the finish. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, there's nothing we can do other than I do agree it seems like they were definitely wanting to protect Braun while at the same time elevate Brock Lesnar and have him back, which I think, you know, we're going to do a guessing game. It's either Survivor Series or the Royal Rumble, which I think would be, you know, and I know that sounds kind of crazy, but if you're going to have Brock Lesnar on, you may as well have him on one of the Grand Slam events, and I think the Royal Rumble would be the best way to go on that.
It's just so weird to think that WWE is, in September, using Brock Lesnar to build to a match they have in mind in January. We're so used to WWE's fly-by-the-seat-of-their-pants booking. And I understand that they have things laid out, like this is the direction we'd like to go. This is where we'd like to be 3 months from now, maybe even 6 months from now, especially with someone who they have, they're so financially tied to as Brock Lesnar. Him in particular, you would probably think that they have storylines mapped out months in advance, so he knows and they can get their schedule straight. But it's still odd to be sitting here talking in mid-September about Brock Lesnar appearing on a pay-per-view to build to a match in January. So it might take me some getting used to if that, in fact, is the case.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at it this way. I think it's finally them realizing that, hey, the Monday Night Wars is over. You don't have the hot shot. I think that's what a lot of things that WWE...
17 years later, they're finally realizing the Monday Night War is over?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. You know, let's go back to 1993 way philosophy of you building and building, which is one of the things that I like, especially if you watch Impact. You know, they build to a big match for one of their big pay-per-views, and that's kind of my thinking on the Lesnar situation. It may not be what everybody else is thinking, but it's got to be pretty close to that. But the match that I was really excited, there was two of them, and they were on the SmackDown side, was the Becky Lynch and Charlotte match, which I really was shocked that they would go the way that they did. But I'll say this much, Greg. It's kind of hard to accept the fact that Becky Lynch is a heel when she gets the most crowd reaction. And I got a good feeling that they're just kind of – they wanted to kind of test to see – okay, we're going to go and see what happens. And I got a feeling that, you know, now that she's lost the title, Charlotte can just easily go rogue or go heel. And then that would set up for the Ronda Rousey match that they're supposed to have at WrestleMania anyway, because what would have happened if she had stayed a SmackDown champion all the way building up to WrestleMania? I mean, you would have, what, had a unification match? I don't think that's in WWE's wheelhouse in that sense, but I could be wrong on that. Do you think it would have been possible for both of them to have stayed as champions heading into WrestleMania, Charlotte and Ronda Rousey?
I do. I think you could have done and they still could do, if, you know, depending on the length of Becky Lynch's reign, I think you could do Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey in a non-title match, champion versus champion, just for the prestige. Just say, look, you're the best on SmackDown, I'm the best on Raw. Let's see who's the best overall. Plus, you would have, if Charlotte had won here over Becky Lynch, you would have her as SmackDown champion from, you know, SummerSlam or whenever it was that she won the title. I've forgotten already. I think it was SummerSlam. That's when they did the triple threat and she beat Carmella. You could have Charlotte as the champion from SummerSlam all the way to WrestleMania. And you could really do the same with Ronda Rousey. and have the trajectory almost the same as far as the length of their title reigns, just to make it all the more even of a matchup. So, you know, I don't think the titles would have had to be on the line there. I think it would have been just, you know, mano a mano. Let's see who the best is.
Yeah, that's the first that I really thought of it in that sense. But, you know, it's kind of like then you would have copied what we've seen in Survivor Series, you know, last few years with the champions, you know, up Raw and SmackDown going together. But, and again, it could have made sense on that front. And I guess the one other show on SmackDown, as far as that goes, was the AJ Styles and Samoa Joe match. And, you know, I talked about this in SummerSlam, you know, in the sense that, you know, we're building towards what used to be the regional territory version of the WWWF, where, you know, you would have three matches where, you know, you had one end in DQ, which we've already seen. You had one that ended in a controversial finish, which we've seen. And now I think that the payoff, the blow-off, would have to be the Super Showdown show in Australia, which would be interesting if they do go with Joe as champion. You know, the thing is, I do agree that the heel side on SmackDown is pretty weak. But if you were able to keep the strap on Joe and he built a following long enough, and one of the things that really concerns me was that The Miz got over on Daniel Bryan again. And I assume that he's going to continue that heading into the Super Showdown. He's probably going to beat Daniel Bryan again. Do you see a possibility of Samoa Joe, over the course of, he does win the title at the Super Showdown, going as a strong babyface character against The Miz? Do you see that as a possible maybe Royal Rumble, WrestleMania type matchup?
I think it would be difficult given the circumstances surrounding the Joe versus Styles feud and how nasty and personal Joe has gotten with AJ and his family. I think it would be difficult to flip that switch and have him go babyface to go against The Miz. Joe versus Miz is intriguing to me, but I would prefer to see heel Samoa Joe, if he's going to win the title, go against Daniel Bryan at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania next year. That's the match that intrigues me a little more than babyface Joe versus heel Miz.
Right, but it just seems like that the way it's being projected on that front is we're basically getting a case where The Miz has gotten over now twice on Daniel Bryan. And I don't know how, you know, even if Daniel Bryan does win against The Miz, my gut feeling is that they'll do something where he may have to cash it in on the 1,000th episode of SmackDown, which is coming up in the not-too-near future. So that was kind of my feeling is that, oh, if Joe does win, they may just have, you know, a quickie Bryan versus Joe match for the 1,000th episode of SmackDown Live, which could happen, really.
Yeah, Bryan is going to beat Miz at some point, and if he beats him to end the feud, what better springboard than to have a big win over The Miz in this long-running feud to springboard Bryan into a title feud with Joe? Let's say, you know, we talked about Miz Bryan going all the way to WrestleMania. Let's say it goes till November or December, and Joe wins the title at Super Showdown. He beats AJ Styles in the rematch at November. He's done with Styles. Then we hit Joe and Bryan around December, and then you've got a big match at Royal Rumble, and if you wanted to, you could take that to WrestleMania, which I think Joe versus Bryan for the WWE title is a WrestleMania-worthy match. So the timelines can line up pretty well to do a Bryan versus Joe in the winter, and then once the calendar turns to 2019 as well.
Well, you definitely give me some thought on that, and anyway, I really appreciate you taking my call. And as we are in
sure
the
thing.
Football kick, I actually got pretty lucky today in football, the Rams and the Chargers, because I follow the L.A. NFL scene a lot. They were victorious. The Chargers won on the road against Buffalo, and the Rams beat the Cardinals 34-0. And, you know, all you can say is an impressive matchup. And next Sunday is their version of the Battle of Los Angeles, if you can believe it or not. You know, sort of similar
right.
to PWG's deal. So it's It'll be interesting. I'll be for the Rams since they're undefeated and they're the potential Super Bowl favorite for this season.
Right.
So, you know, it could always be a scenario. It could be Rams-Jaguars for all we know.
It could be. That would be really entertaining. I think the Rams are really good. Rams and Chargers today both had, you know, not to take anything away from their wins, but they were facing two of the worst teams in the league in Arizona and Buffalo too. And you know, they handled them pretty easily. I mean, the Chargers got out to a big lead against Buffalo and they didn't pour it on in the second half, but they held the lead and the Rams, I think, shut out the Cardinals. So, they did what they needed to do against two poor teams in the league, and that's always a positive. You don't want to play down to your competition.
That's true indeed. Well, anyway, I'll let you see if you can get into some more callers, and really enjoyed the show tonight, both shows, and take care, Greg.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Kenny from Tennessee drops off. We'll check in with Boris one more time. Boris from Chicago, are you there? Hello, Boris. Maybe this isn't Boris. Maybe it's just someone with the same area code. Maybe that's why they're not answering me. I don't know. Okay, we're going to check 614. 614, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Hear me? I got you.
Hello? Oh,
yep.
Sweet. Hey, my name's Ace. What's up? Calling in from Columbus while we're talking about football. My team is the worst kicker in the NFL. Ask me anything. Cleveland Browns. Gotta love them.
Yeah, they won't be the only team in the market for a kicker this week. I think the Vikings may be they may have to do battle over the free agents that are left out there as far as kickers go.
I'm just happy I have Vinatieri in my fantasy team. That's all I'm gonna leave it at that. But it's been really interesting. I watched Hell in a Cell with all my friends in the group chat and all that, and one of them's my roommate's friend. She lives in Australia and she's going to the Super Showdown. And we were talking about, well, why the hell did Lesnar come in? Oh, sorry, am I able to use, like, hell and stuff
That's
like
fine.
That? I don't even know.
That's fine.
But, like,
just
we're sitting there talking about
some of the harder swears I'd stay away from.
That's fine. This is the first time I've called in, and from what I've heard so far, you guys have a great show. I'll probably be calling in more often. Yeah, but we were talking about, well, what is this leading to? And I kind of told her, well, if you're not going to do a triple threat match at the Super Showdown, why not do Strowman-Lesnar? Winner gets to face Roman at, say, Survivor Series. Why not just have that? Because then you can get Lesnar on the card. Get, you know, I think they're probably going to have, what, 100, 120,000 seats in the MCG. It holds like 100,000 for cricket matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, they're going to try to pack in as much as they can, all the star power they can. And even if you
Definitely.
Let Strowman win, you know, if you're going to go for the, you know, Strowman monster heel angle, so that way you can give Roman that big push come, you know, have maybe Roman drop the belt at Survivor Series, give, you know, Strowman a huge monster heel push, go through literally everybody, and then Roman comes, you know, you have, you know, what, 5-6 moves of doom, super, you know, super Roman, saves the day, Vince loves it, right? That... Why not, if all the roads are leading to Melbourne right now, and you're going to try to make sense of it, which WWE doesn't do the best job of making sense of it, why not go with that?
I think that's a good point, but, you know, the whole appearance of Lesnar tonight really throws into a wrench into what we've all speculated going forward, because all of our speculation into winter and even into the Royal Rumble season has been predicated on the fact that Brock Lesnar won't be around. Now, that was the feeling everybody got based on his last appearance and everything like that. So, just by showing up here tonight and wreaking havoc in that main event, all of a sudden now we have to rethink how we're looking at things going into the fall, going into the winter. Strowman is already booked at six-man in Australia with the Shield versus Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre. I don't know how easy it would be to get him out of that and have him do a singles match with Lesnar. But, you know, I talked about earlier on, you know, if you do Reigns versus Strowman next year at WrestleMania, what better way to really get Strowman cooking than to have him beat Brock Lesnar in Australia and, you know, start building Strowman's heat so when Reigns beats him at WrestleMania next year, it really means something.
Well, and the other idea is, you know, if you're trying to figure a way to get Strowman out of a six-man match, why not go with this angle, right? Because you have Constable Corbin. He's the GM on Raw now, right? I don't really watch much of Raw or SmackDown. I usually only catch the pay-per-views. Well, why don't you have Strowman be like, well, look, Corbin, you lost your briefcase. How would you feel if you were in my situation? You'd want your rematch too, right? And then maybe he does like, well, I can't just give you a rematch, but, you know, we've got the Super Showdown, and Lesnar's going to be there and, like, dangle it in front of him, right? Let him take it, and then maybe have, you know, have your tag team rematch. I'd probably want to see, ideally, I'd like to see Seth drop the IC title. And so that way you have, you know, you don't have one guy with maybe two belts going into it. Have a tag match. Have a tag match to where Seth can get the tag belts. That way you have all three members of the Shield with belts, but you don't have Seth with two of them. You can free up the IC title for whoever you want to have it. Maybe give it to Lashley, or I think maybe even Elias. I think he's been doing great. He's red hot. Let him have some time on top, and you know, let everything build. Like, let, and then you give Strowman and Lesnar, maybe give them, what, 10-15 minute match? Make it your main event, even. Make that your big attraction, where it's like the winner gets Strowman, and that's how I'd do it. Sorry if I'm making much sense. As to the rest of the card, I didn't watch the Ronda Rousey match just because the Caribbean Cricket League final was happening at the same time, so I watched the last of that, and Trinbago won, shout out to them. But you know, everything else was great. I maybe do a double turn with Becky and Charlotte.
Yeah,
I don't like Charlotte as a face. I can't stand her. She's not good at that. She's the same as her dad. You don't.
Yeah.
Like, never a good babyface.
You're not the only one. I think the general consensus is that Charlotte is a better heel than she is a babyface. A lot of her babyface delivery on the mic and everything like that, I think even her in-ring work is better suited to be a heel. And Becky Lynch is a much better babyface. But she's taken the reins of this heel character. She's done well with it, but you know, the fans want to cheer her. She's a really good babyface. This goes back to last month, and why did they put her in the first place when both of these women are so much better when their roles are reversed? And I think that's also part of the frustration that a lot of fans have with the storyline. Although, hey, Becky Lynch winning the title tonight, I think may have eased some of those concerns from some of those fans.
Right. And, I mean, I think, like, Becky Lynch got the biggest pop of the night, I think. Maybe Lesnar got a bigger one, but do you think anybody else got anything bigger?
It was certainly
curiosity.
Up there, you know? Yeah, like, it was. I mean, it was in the top. But I mean, that's no different than how she's been ever since she turned heel at SummerSlam. I mean, she's been getting babyface pops at the arenas and TV, and if you read the house show report, she's been getting positive reactions there too. So it would be par for the course if that were the case.
And I feel like if you would have reversed the card, like had every match and like do the reverse order, it would have been a much better card than because like the entire time in like with my group, you know, the group chat and my friends talking about it, the only thing we were wondering is Jeff Hardy gonna like, what's he gonna do? Like, what the hell? Like, you know, because you know, growing up, we all remember, you know, like TLC, TLC 2. We all remember that. We all remember the Daredevil Hardys. And, you know, Matt Hardy's retired, and we genuinely thought Jeff Hardy was going to be like, this is going to be like the last match for him. That they're going to find a way to like write him off so that way both the Hardys are out and they can retire and maybe a Hall of Fame induction next year. Because of what they've done for the tag team division as a whole, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're surefire Hall of Famers whenever they go in. I don't know if this is truly the end for Jeff Hardy or if he just maybe takes some time off to heal up a little more and then, you know, maybe work the part-time schedule. But, whenever he decides, because it sounds like Matt Hardy is retired from in-ring competition.
There is no worse of a fate than not just retiring, but having to retire and have your last match in Corpus Christi in a house show, according to one of my friends. Like, why not retire him on Hell in a Cell? Like, that would give him one more match, even if it's on the pre-show.
Right, that's a tough deal for Matt. Yeah, but
he'll be remembered
like
as a legend.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is I was kind of disappointed with the finish of Styles and Joe, that I feel like, you know, Joe got screwed out of the finish. He got screwed out of the title. So why not rampage on AJ Styles? Why not go off on him? Beat the crap out of him. You know, make it known that it's like, I won this, right?
Yeah, I think there was more anger directed towards the ref because it was the ref who screwed up in Joe's mind. So that may have
then
been.
Then have him beat the ref up.
And they could have done that,
up.
You know. They could have done that, and I think that would have totally fit in with Joe's character. But I think with Joe, he's got that killer instinct, and he's got that way about him. But he's under control. You know, he's
going to go full psychopath.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it would have – I think he is smart enough – his character is smart enough that, yeah, he's a killer in the ring. I mean, not literally, but that's – you know, he'll do a lot of damage.
Debatable.
Himself, but he knows that beating up a ref may be crossing the line, and, hey, maybe Paige doesn't give him another shot at a title. So he knows enough to keep it cool – and not cross that imaginary line. So that's kind of how I see it, too.
Right. And like, I didn't catch the pre-show. I didn't catch the Rousey match. But the other thing is, I'm on the wrong page. Because I was looking at I feel like the main event could have gone longer had the run-in so much later for the tag teams. I have it all written out. I'm not going to pull that all that up. But the other thing is, like, where do you... My biggest takeaway is they need to bring back the brand split for the pay-per-views because it's like there's so much talent that WWE's been kind of stockpiling and that they left on the shelf that if you had the brand split, it wouldn't – you could let everybody have like a little bit of time, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't even know. Was there an Elias segment on the pre-show?
I don't know. Like I said earlier, I didn't see the pre-show, but I haven't seen any reports of an Elias segment. But you know, I think that's also okay when you have guys like Elias and you have guys like Kevin Owens, and you know maybe they're not on pay-per-view every month. And we talk about sometimes how overexposed these wrestlers are because there is so much TV time to fill. There is a pay-per-view every month, so. You know, they've had the brand split pay-per-views. They've combined them again. This is the second time now that they've done that, if you count the original brand split in the early 2000s. So I think the idea of going to brand-exclusive pay-per-views is dead at this point. But I think it also – it is – if you're going to do pay-per-views where both brands are on it, obviously some big names are going to be left off. But I think that's okay because – you're not forcing guys onto a pay-per-view. You're not bloating it to 5 hours maybe now. You're not robbing some matches of time. You know, a lot of the good matches on this show tonight were because they were able to get time. And if you put an Elias segment in there, if you put a Kevin Owens match in there, you know, you're going to have to cut time from somewhere else. So I'm okay with leaving some bigger names off every month or so just to, you know, keep them fresh.
Give them a night off and... Give them a night off, let them kind of chill for a bit. Well, and like the right. other thing is between the Super Showdown and Evolution, it's like, I mean, it's just been like a, I feel like it's been like a really crowded month for not just wrestling, but as somebody who watches like boxing and MMA and all forms of combat sports, it's like, it's great that like now there's going to be a week or two where it's just like, okay, there's nothing. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Cause it's like,
kicks up again in October.
Right. Well, it's like this week was really crowded between Anniversario with CMLL and, you know, you had Canelo Triple G and then you had Hell in a Cell tonight. And it's just like, I'm just excited to have Monday Night Football on tomorrow.
you get a bit of a breather tomorrow.
Right. I get a great breather for a few days and just kind of like, okay, nothing is on. Thank God. But like I said, thank you for taking my call. I love the show, and hopefully I can call in again. Have a great night.
Great, love to have you.
Best of luck. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Ace.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
And we now go to the, I don't know, should we check in with Boris again? Let's check in with Boris because it amuses me. 773, you're on the air. Hello, 773. Three strikes and you're out, Boris. I'll just talk to you again some other time. 305 area code, you are next. 305, you are on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
DJ from Miami, good to talk to you again tonight, DJ. What did you think of Hell in a Cell?
I really didn't feel like it was Hell in the Cell. I just really felt like I didn't really like the Cell. I still like the old school Cell. I don't know about you.
You mean like the silver metal? You didn't like the red
tonight?
Yeah,
the one with no top. I like the one with no top, the old school one. You know, like you would have to like take like plier cut, cutters to cut the lock off compared to a fake kick the door down. Like, come on. Like, if he's going to kick the door down, you know what he's going to do to this guy? Like, I don't like that. It's so wonky, you know? It just...
I understand. But, you know, this is WWE, and change comes very slowly to WWE. So when they do change things up, I tend to give them a little more credit maybe than I should for trying something different and for presenting something new.
Just little things like this just upset me, you know? It's just like he kicks the door down. Come on, like seriously. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just something like, or push the, or,
but
you know,
I mean, you understand why they do it. I mean, you know, Brock Lesnar has been portrayed as this tough monster. And of course, if anyone's going to kick a door of a Hell in a Cell, it's going to be Lesnar or possibly Strowman. But in this case, it was Lesnar. I think it's fitting.
Right, but I still feel like the wire bolt cutters will still get him in, maybe 2 seconds later compared. You know, it just feels
they will,
better to
but me. It's not going to be the same response by the audience where the audience is like, whoa, he's powerful enough to kick that door down that's locked instead of, oh, he's using bolt cutters to open a door. It doesn't have the same feel.
But that was, you know, but I just didn't feel like Hell in a Cell. It was pretty decent, but, you know, but I just didn't understand the lot. Now, let me ask you a question. Now that it's a DQ, now does Strowman get his lunchbox back, or is that over? He's done, or what?
Right. This was the contractual Money in the Bank cash-in on this night. So the fact that it went to a no contest and the fact that you now have a heel and Baron Corbin running Monday Night Raw for the time being, I would assume, and I've worked under this assumption on this entire show, is that he will grant Braun Strowman another shot at the Universal title. Now, whether that's a one-on-one match with Roman Reigns or whether that now involves Brock Lesnar, who's apparently back, we don't know for how long, we don't know for how many dates, but those are the two possibilities there. Strowman has a rematch with Reigns somewhere coming off of this match, or it's a triple threat with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I definitely see that for sure. And then my second thing is that, have you noticed there was like more blood? It was like two people, three people bleeding. Did you notice that? They're showing more blood all of a sudden out of the blue.
It was very little. I think one was in the Miz match when Brie hit Miz, and of course one was in the Orton-Jeff Hardy match. That was kind of gruesome because it was the skin on Orton's leg. But so those were the two that I noticed, unless I missed any.
Styles of bleeding out of his mouth.
Okay, yeah, that would have been the other one I missed then. But, I mean, nothing major, all hard way.
I was just wondering, yeah, if you saw that, like, because I don't think a lot of people caught that, bleeding out of his mouth.
Yeah, I certainly didn't. I think I saw the ref put gloves on, but I didn't see what it was for.
Okay, and then my last thing is, what do you really think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to keep her as an announcer? Or do you think that, like, they're going to just hold her off for a few months until they – or what do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think they'll find somebody else? Or do you like her there? Or what do you feel? Because
– Are you talking about Renee Young?
Yes, because nowadays, you know and I know, like, you say any little stupid thing, and it's like the YouTube movement or whatever it's called, you know, and – anything can pop off. You know what I mean? I'm just scared that they have a girl there and something can happen or somebody can say something, you know, anything little. You know how it is nowadays. You know what I mean? Like any little thing, like look what happened to the comic and everybody went crazy. You know what I mean? Like, so what do you think?
I think she'll be fine. I think the announcers are well-trained enough and, you know, this is a PG show. They're not going to say anything off color that could even be construed as anything that would cross
like a
the
fan
line
or something yelling stuff because she's a female or something or, you know, getting harassed. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm just curious what your opinion is.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think most of the fans that go to shows go to watch the shows and go as families. And I think that there's, hopefully, enough restraint from people in the crowd to not say anything just because there's a woman at the announce desk. You know, there are women wrestlers and there are women at ringside, and the camera hasn't picked up anything that's untoward that the fans are yelling at them. So I don't think that there would be a problem with Renee Young. And even if WWE was worried about that, that's a really bad reason to not have her doing the job that she's earned, which is being a part of the Raw announce team.
I was just curious. So you definitely think she's definitely long-term?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you ever think they'll put somebody on a girl on SmackDown?
It's possible. They'd have to have someone they're confident in that role. You know, Corey Graves is a guy who does Raw on SmackDown now. I don't really think it's necessary to have him on both shows, so his would be the spot I would be looking at to replace. But I just don't know if there's anyone. You know, Beth Phoenix has done a pretty nice job on the Mae Young Classic, but that's not a role that, you know, she's a mother, she's, you know, all that stuff, so I don't know if that's a role she would want. But so WWE would have to have somebody that they've groomed, that they're comfortable with to take that position.
Right. All right. That's it, I guess. And we'll see you next
All right,
week.
DJ. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
DJ from Miami drops off. So if you want to call, we've got only one or two calls left to get to. So 515-605-9345 is the number to call. If you'd like to talk to me, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks here, as I am every Sunday night for Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Most of the time it's a little earlier than this, as we pass the midnight hour here on the East Coast. We usually start the show at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights, go for about 90 minutes talking the big shows in pro wrestling. When there is a WWE pay-per-view on Sunday nights, we go on the air right after, just like we've done tonight for Hell in a Cell. So we hope that you join us for not only those future pay-per-view nights, but each and every Sunday night going forward. Love to take your calls and talk. So we'll go back to the 111 call, the Skype or international call. You are on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Craig from Toledo.
Craig from Toledo, good to hear from you. I was afraid we lost you earlier when we tried to go to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. My phone kept getting disconnected. I got Skype, so.
Okay, that's all right. We're back with you, so everything's good.
All right. I liked the first half of the show a lot. The second half was okay. But it was cool when I looked at the clock and it was 10:53 Eastern. And I was like, wow, this has been going on for 2 hours? It doesn't even feel like it's 2 hours. And it was right when the start of the Joe AJ match. Oh, like, this is just flown by. That's a good sign for a good show. My thought of what's going to happen for that, the AJ, the SmackDown title, is that AJ is going to lose the title to The Miz eventually, and Bryan's going to win the Rumble, and then it's going to be Bryan and Miz at Mania.
Oh, intriguing. So do you think that Joe doesn't get it at all then?
Nope. I think something happens in their match that what did Paige say when they're going to have their match?
It's going to be a super showdown,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think they'd have I just really think Bryan's going to win this Rumble because he put it out there kind of like Jeff Hardy did with the Hell in a Cell thing. Like, he really wants to do Hell in a Cell. And Bryan did an interview, I think it was Sam Roberts maybe, and he said that the one thing he really wants to accomplish before, you know, he retires is winning the Royal Rumble, because that's the only thing he hasn't done. And that would be amazing. So that's what I think is going to happen, just because that's the best story to go into the Mania with.
It is. I agree. I think it is a great story. I think it can go into Mania. And I think the WWE title would enhance it. I don't think it's a feud that needs a title, because there's enough to this story between Bryan and Miz to where I think it could get to WrestleMania without needing the title. But I think the title would be almost like icing on the cake. As far as The Miz has bullied and demeaned Daniel Bryan so much that it's not enough for Daniel Bryan to just beat The Miz and win the feud. He's actually going to take the WWE title from him. I think that would be awesome. And, you know, it would stink that somebody like Styles and Joe wouldn't be in the title feud, but yeah, I would not argue with Bryan winning the Rumble and facing The Miz at WrestleMania. That would be really cool, something that I would find it very unlikely for WWE to do, it would be – it's cool
record
to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing – I'm surprised no one's brought this up, and I got disconnected a couple times, or maybe somebody did, but they're going back to Saudi – in November 2nd,
mm-hmm.
And that's where Strowman won the greatest Royal Rumble, and that's when Brock and Roman had their big non-finish, and that's mm-hmm. where I see a triple threat coming.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, that's another thing that we've got to think about. I don't think it's been announced by WWE, but that's November is the date that people have circled for the second show in Saudi Arabia. So all of these shows really complicate trying to figure out WWE booking. Mm-hmm. Because you've got so many different options of where these matches can be held and what incarnation of these matches will take place. So we talked earlier about Survivor Series and maybe do a triple threat there. Well, you know, you've got the Saudi Arabia show in November, and maybe doing it in early November is a way for Lesnar to do the match and still not really interfere with the bulk of his UFC training if, in fact, he does fight Daniel Cormier in January. Whereas if you do that match in late November at Survivor Series, then you run the risk of it being too close to January. So just so much up in the air about, you know, so many shows coming up in October and November, and Brock Lesnar being added to the mix tonight just complicates things further. I mean, it's fun to speculate, fun to talk about. We filled most of this show talking about the Universal title situation and where they go from here. And hopefully people are listening to this in the 24 hours after it was recorded, because by Monday night, after Raw, a lot of this speculation may be moot. We may know exactly when Braun Strowman gets his rematch. We may know exactly when Brock Lesnar is going to show up again. So, this is a definite wait and see. I'm thinking we'll get some answers on Raw Monday night, but, you know, maybe not. WWE stretched out further.
Yeah, maybe Brock just wants to go to SmackDown to announce his plans and everything. No, he's a mercenary, and he just likes money, and Saudi has the most money. So he would go there, and if it's a triple threat, all he's got to do is take a couple, you know, fake chair shots and, you know, go back to UFC training. He doesn't really have to do much in a triple threat match because there's two other guys doing all the work.
Right, right.
That would be the easiest thing for him to do. Easy payday.
Yeah, but I guess at this point, why even bring him back and involve him if that's all you're going to have him do?
Well, because Saudi has a lot of money. They probably, you know, like they wanted Yokozuna. They found out he was dead, and they were like, well, bring Brock then.
Yeah, it may be. It may be that WWE or somebody in Saudi Arabia said they want Brock Lesnar back, and WWE had to go back to him and throw a lot of money at him and say, hey, we're getting paid a lot for this show. We're going to pay you a lot to do the show again. And they just needed to find a way to involve Brock Lesnar. I mean, stranger things have happened. I would hope
and
that
it wouldn't
WWE...
be the first time.
Well, no, and I hope that WWE would bring Lesnar back because they had a great creative idea for him, rather than let's bring him back because the Saudis are throwing a lot of money at us and let's try to shoehorn him into the Universal title picture. I would prefer the former.
It wouldn't be the first time that they screwed up a main event to please the Saudis. You know, they just did it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's the pessimist in me thinking that.
I'm going to let you go. Tag match was a highlight, especially the finish. And hope you have a good night and get some sleep.
Great. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate the call. And that looks like that'll do it. We amazingly, according to my timestamp, have hit 90 minutes right on the nose, which is our usual show length for Wrestling Night in America when we start at 8 p.m. Eastern. So thank you to all the callers. You guys were great tonight. Thank you for everybody listening. Really appreciate you listening to Wrestling Night in America. Keeps me going here at the Torch. Check out, if you're not a member of PWTorch.com, if you're not a VIP member, PWTorch.com/GoVIP. You get my full page column in the Torch newsletter every week, and a bunch of great VIP exclusive audio that a lot of people, a lot of hardworking people at the Torch put out every week. So appreciate it. We're back Sunday night, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, live here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Thank you all for listening, and have a great evening.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
No.